Okay, can we have our next group up, please? Mr. John Posner. Okay, so John has been with us since day one. John is an absolute rock star in the sporting world. As David Packman said, it's been the sports community that has been so supportive in NFTs. And John has a beautiful family, and every year I get his Christmas card or Hanukkah card with all his family on it.
Thank you, Jody.
I feel like I know you and your family so well, and it's just a privilege to have you here.
Thanks for having us. Okay. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for coming out in the rain. Topic this morning is what's next in sports loyalty, membership, and social experiences. As Jody so kindly introduced me, my name is John Kosner. I'm a veteran of sports media and technology. I worked previously at ESPN, the NBA, Sports Illustrated, and CBS Sports. Today, I'm a consultant, and I'm also an investor in and advisor to a bunch of sports tech startups. And I'm pleased to introduce our panel. From the left, if you want to be in the know about sports and emerging media, you have to subscribe to Sporting Crypto. Pat Barisha, who is the founder, creator, has an outstanding email newsletter. He's expanded his businesses into podcasting, must attend events. He's joined us from London on very little sleep, and he is a fan of the Arsenal Football Club. Welcome, Pat. To his left, is Asher Weiss, who is the co-founder and CEO of Tixology, a startup that is innovating the sports ticketing experience, starting with supercharging self-serve events, first in sports, but also in music, comedy, and food. Like me, Asher is also part of the NBA diaspora. He held digital development positions at the Golden State Warriors and Orlando Magic. Unfortunately, he is a Toronto Raptors fan. And to his right is Essam Harris, Senior Lead Product Manager for Research and Development at the NBA. Among other things, Essam helped lead the NBA's work on its app development for the brand new Apple Vision Pro headset. Previously, he worked at Major League Baseball. Like me, he is a New York Knicks fan. So welcome to our panel. So as we think about sports and loyalty programs, and we talked about this a little bit last year, want to start with, you know, changes to two high-profile non-sports-specific executions, which are Starbucks Odyssey program and Nike's Dot Swoosh. So Pat, you know, I'll start with you. Talk about these products, why they matter, what's happened to them. The UI was really easy to use. It was incredibly
scale of the sport has a really big opportunity, but perhaps a weaker execution than other industries.
What about the Nike program?
You know, I think that what Nike is not making really strong. I think they maybe have some scaling issues.
You've often talked about it's about the product, not the underlying tech.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the sometimes frustrating things is it's a hard if you are really passionate about Web3 and you want to work on NFTs is, at a core level, you have to build a good product, and a good product either solves a consumer pain point or meets a consumer need. And so the question is, what is it about blockchain technology or NFTs that can meet some consumer need or solve a pain point? And so I think, you know, when I ask even myself that question, and we consider that question internally at the NBA, we think about what blockchain technology and NFTs are good for, and what's the promise that they hold. And so we think about things like user ownership of data in a secure fashion. We think about interoperability. And we think about product, proving where something came from, or that it's the original of something. And when you think about Nike, one of the really exciting things that they have done with that program, and I'm interested to see how it goes forward, is like this mix of, you know, a buying a digital good and getting a physical shoe, find a physical issue and getting a digital good, that you can then, and with that digital good, you can put that into a bunch of other virtual platforms or digital settings. And so that is a potentially powerful experience that I'd like to see expanded on. And I think that example in and of itself captures the other two of like having something to prove that it's yours, that you can bring into different spaces,
I was going to say, it strikes me as like a good organizing principle to say, okay, we're going to develop Web3, that it should involve at least one of those three things you mentioned, right? Identity and privacy, interoperability, or provenance, right? That, you know, otherwise you don't have to develop that way.
Yeah, I think the point is before you say, I want to build something on the blockchain, is the consumer pain point that you're trying to solve or need you're trying to meet, does it need those things? Is it based on those things? And you solve the problem, you go out and find the technology that is best suited to solve it.
Asher, we were talking last week, do we feel that the loyalty model and blockchains are a marriage made in heaven, or the challenges just involved? You obviously, besides the startup, you worked on the team side at the NBA, so you understand a lot of the issues that go into these deals. What's your thinking now?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. We said about, you know, how you pay for your standards, and use that to take these new work out. how do you create value that fans are really going to care about when you're going to purchase that NFT? I think we've seen it everywhere from, the highest level of sports, I was the Warriors for a while, it's something very cool with an NFT collection that unlocks, of course, NFTs and other, cool benefits like that, all the way down to, some other startups that are coming called End State, based out of Boston, that's kind of doing something similar to NFT, but in their own kind of unique way, where you're buying a sneaker and you're getting access to something in real life, which is just something with fine art in Boston. So, collaborating with the artist, pulling that element in, something you actually want to wear or from your outfit, but also giving you that added benefit. So, I think it's all moving in the right direction.
Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, talked about how maybe 1% of the fan base that's there for the NBA can actually go to a live event. So digital media provides the promise of reaching everybody else. But Pat, I'll ask you, when you think about the existing loyalty programs, so many of them seem targeted to people who actually come to the event.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to speak for American people, because I haven't been to that many American NBA games,
Go ahead.
Yeah. And I think it might actually require some centralization first before actually adding some decentralized aspects to it, so maybe make it more effective.
I was going to say, just to that point, we have a guest star in the audience, my friend Mihir Walawalkar. Mihir, are you here? So Mihir created a company called LiveLike, and they are big into fan loyalty programs with Yes Network, the New Zealand Rugby Club, Warner Brothers Discovery, and their path is sort of a combination of both Web 2 and Web 3, and I think we're going to see more of that because, as our panel attests, it's early days developing for Web 3. I would just say I already see some promising things. You know, I would like to talk about Reddit for a second. Reddit just had its IPO, bigger than most people expected. I've been impressed, at least with aspects of the Avatar program, especially when they've done it for free. A friend of mine from the NFL said they were so excited about the original free Avatar program on Reddit that they then introduced a pay program, which did not work. But the concept of the avatars on Reddit strikes me as easy, sort of fun, interesting, and already successful, right?
Yeah, and I think if you think about that as a proposition, it was using the blockchain to unlock something that was previously default on that platform. And that was only available to explore programs, maybe even the practice that might have been able to do it, but that's simply unlocked. Light bulb goes off and suddenly they're like, wow, I can buy this thing, attach it to my profile on a platform that I'm using to buy, and I can trade it to a friend, give away to a friend, sign it for free, from the pay, etc. That's a huge unlock. I think it's been 35 million claims of something that you need, but it's crazy and it's scary. And I feel like I don't even know if it's that cheap, even on a list, like blockchain, at Polygon at that point. But again,
identify other Knicks fans and make a community with them.
They've done a great job at making that process as simple as
right. possible. And just to that point, and without committing you know, like as an NBA fan and NBA ID member, I think into the future and wonder, okay, is interoperability possible here? Okay, if you recognize these Knicks fans on Reddit, is there some sort of easy offer that makes sense both for the NBA and for Reddit that then makes that community bigger? To Pet's point, sports is so fragmented, and yet there's such unbelievable opportunity as you attack that.
Yeah, I mean, I talked about it last year at this conference, and sports fandom is one of the core pieces of your personal identity. And with so many touch points across so many platforms, it only makes sense that we would eventually give fans the ability to take the identity that they strike up in their sports world and bring it to other platforms so that they can express it in those environments. And so,
Asher, you know, ticketing is so big, and so big in sports. Where do you think that fits ultimately when we begin to stitch together fan experience and expectations?
Yeah, well, I think, in terms of putting it all together, the reality of it is there's so many different pieces of that fan experience, from the ticketing, the merchandise, the food and beverage, the online presence, whatever it may be. It's a finding a way to pull that all into one place where fans can be rewarded, not just for attending the game, that's obviously an element of it, buying a ticket, helping, sell tickets, getting a friend to come with you, whatever that may be. But, kind of leaning into that element of pulling all the different pieces of the fan experience together to reward people for doing, a bunch of different things. Obviously, ticketing is, at a core of one of those experiences. And creates that atmosphere, a lot of people to kind of come in, experience it firsthand, be surrounded by people. And so, obviously biased a little bit, but believe that, that's going to be a core piece of this loyalty and commitment to a brand, and being able to, say, hey, I was there when this happened, or hey, I brought a friend to this game for the first time, or whatever it might be.
I really enjoy, Pat, I really enjoy the podcast that you're now doing, the Sporting Crypto Podcast, and I'm blanking on the executive's name, but the guy who runs Manchester United's digital program. I thought some of the stuff about artwork and the fact that, we don't necessarily know what fans want, but he was able to sort of bring it out through the program, which I found fascinating and promising for any number of other teams.
Yeah, I think one of the things that you saw last year, I think you have also with McLaren and Manchester United. They both had very successful free-to-play NFT programs in their second seasons last year. And, some sort of thinking teams don't even have CRM, right? Which is a spreadsheet, and that's it. Some of the programs that we saw of that ilk last year had, 600,000, 300,000 unique. Which is not a small number, even for a team like Manchester United. Suddenly you can see, wow, if I have that many people on chain, crazy. I was speaking to someone, a crypto detective recently, and they were like, oh, you mean they have 800,000 bots? And I was like, no, McLaren had 650,000 unique claims, and 100,000 or so of those went and signed up to their Web2 or crypto. So, that's a pretty good going for a market. I think having an on-chain network of fans eventually makes a ton of sense. The bit about interoperability, I think, still remains to be seen a little bit, because there's a deep friction between commercial and innovation teams. Of course, someone I know quite well, someone at Big Life Coffee, said the interoperability is difficult because actually your job as a commercial team is to slice those rights as thinly as possible to maximize the value of them, which makes the job of having that creating that more holistic, easy to use, one size fits all fan experience.
This is the sixth straight year we've had a chance to do a sports panel here at this conference, and we see progress every year. And I think all of us are optimistic that hopefully we're here a year from now, and that there's going to begin to be the elements of breakthrough experiences. So thank you all very much. Have a great conference. Thanks to our panel.
Thank you.
It's a little hard.